Hello, everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the You Should Run podcast. I'm Tony Heil, council member in Bridgeport, Pennsylvania, which is in Montgomery County, which is ground zero in Pennsylvania for the coronavirus quarantine at the moment. So I am recording many podcast episodes over these couple days because I can't get out of the house. And I am, but I'm more excited about, in a hopeful way, of talking with people who are running for office or have run for office about their experiences to hopefully share with you why you should run for office as well. If you haven't yet, I encourage you to go back and listen to past episodes. If you're home, if you're busy now and stuck because of the quarantine, I'm sure you have more time. Or you're checking back in because you're driving back to work finally and you need something to listen to. I encourage you to listen to all these past episodes, especially connected to this episode with Eugene D. Pasquale, who is our state auditor in Pennsylvania. And he is the one that recommended today's guest, Christy Ganibus, who is running for Congress in Erie, Pennsylvania. And not just Erie, but in that part of Pennsylvania. And it's an area that is becoming very important to the country as a whole, even, actually, as we'll discuss. So, Christy, thank you for taking time today, as I'm sure you are stuck at home as well, to talk on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So, I mentioned because Eugene D. Pasquale recommended you. You said you had a lot of interesting things to share. You tell me a little bit about your story. What's going on in Erie, Pennsylvania, or in that part of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm running in the 16th congressional district, and Erie is a large chunk of that. But it's Erie, Crawford, Lawrence, Mercer, and a big chunk of Butler County as well. I myself am from Erie County, and a lot of the reason why I'm running is kind of really entrenched in who I am as a person and my experience as a person. I am a public school teacher. I've been a public school teacher for 12 years and raising my two girls in this district as well. When I was actually going to school to be a teacher, I was 20 years old and I was expecting my first daughter. And during an exam, they found that I had a cancerous ovarian tumor.
Oh no.
Yeah. And so that situation really gave me the inside look to the healthcare system, you know, the bureaucracies of that system. And I'm cancer-free. It's been 14 years, and I have two healthy girls. And like so many people all over Pennsylvania and, of course, the U.S., still struggling with the healthcare system and making sure that I can get the care, you know, I need and that my kids can get the medications that they need every day. And, you know, so that experience, and then, of course, my experience in the classroom, you know, seeing all walks of life in and out, have really led me to this place where I feel, you know, my passion for my community, for leadership and being a better voice, led me to this position. And so excited to be running for Congress here in PA 16 and to utilize my real life experiences to do so. So kind of gives a, you know, the inside look of like who I am and a little bit of why I'm running.
And, you know, I follow John Fetterman on Twitter and, mm-hmm. He's our lieutenant governor here in Pennsylvania, and he was mentioning that part of Pennsylvania, particularly Erie, which had voted for Barack Obama, then voted for Donald Trump, could be the deciding factor in the Pennsylvania election, and also if Pennsylvania affects the entire country as a result. So are you considering the fact that the congressional race, you bringing out new voters, could have a big impact both up and down the ballot?
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, Erie is considered a top 10 swing county for the presidential, and, you know, Pennsylvania already being a battleground state. So I think there's going to be a huge focus here. And I think we're trending towards, you know, blue again. If you look at the election results in 2018, you can see that's where the trend was going. And so I think there's just going to be such a huge focus here in Western PA and in Erie particularly. So that, of course, puts a big spotlight on this race in general and really, really trying to get out the vote and how important that really is. So not just for my race, but for the presidential as a whole, because I do think that, you know, this could determine the outcome for the presidential for sure.
So you mentioned a little bit about your experience as a public school teacher and education being a priority, and then you just mentioned about the trends in that area. I'm from northern Allegheny County originally, and so I know Butler a bit and Cranberry Township, but what have you seen? What's changing in that part of the state that maybe people don't realize? Because I think people have a lot of misconceptions about Pennsylvania politics as a whole or about different regions of the state.
Okay, so, you know, I think this district is changing. You know, Western Pennsylvania is changing. The economy, this was a manufacturing, you know, district for a very, very long time. We were promised, you know, more manufacturing jobs, and I think that has not come to fruition. And I think seeing that and seeing that our past leadership has not been able to do that for us, even with those promises, that's going to start to sway some of the voters' decisions here in this upcoming election. I also think that the landscape is changing a little bit. If you look at Butler, there's a lot of people that work in the Pittsburgh area that are starting to move further out, and that's into some of the Butler area. So you're starting to see some of that Pittsburgh workforce into the Butler area, which is also kind of changing the way things are looking as well.
So you're a teacher. Education is often seen as a state issue or a local issue, but is that really one of your top priorities, addressing on a federal level, or are there other things? Obviously, you mentioned healthcare as being a big, important driver for you, sure, for you running. Are they both things you're trying to tackle as an issue?
Yeah, so, I mean, of course, education is something I find very important, just being a teacher myself. And I know that federally, education is generally 4% or less funded at that level. And I think that that's an issue as well. I mean, I know some of it, or the majority of the funding issue, is at a state level. But I think even as a federal candidate, that's something that I could influence. And then I think we could also address financially at a federal level and increasing it from the 4% and more. And then education isn't just K through 12. I think really pushing pre-K and, you know, addressing the issues post-secondary as well. And then, you know, of course, I'm going to be pushing healthcare as something that's very important, just, you know, being somebody that had something so, you know, detrimental happen in my life that's opened my eyes to the healthcare flaws. I would be remiss not to believe that healthcare is something that everyone has to have. I was in a position where I was under my mother's insurance when I had first been diagnosed, but then after I gave birth to my daughter, I actually was out without insurance for a short period of time while still battling cancer. And, you know, that sounds like such a big thing to take on, but even in the smaller world, like when people get sick, just going to the doctor for a checkup can cost hundreds and hundreds of dollars. And that's something that most people can't afford. So those are certainly two of my main focuses, and I think they kind of, you know, intertwine with each other. For the last thing that I think is really important, which is the economy. We can't have a strong economy if we are not educated and if we are not well. So I think they all really tie together.
Well, right now we're not well, and we're we're literally not getting well educated because the schools are closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And for 2 weeks, hopefully just 2 weeks, because I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I don't think anyone does. As this coronavirus issue, as a candidate and as a teacher and head of a family, what do you see? How does this enlighten these issues? Because I feel like it's really driving home how out of touch some people in Congress are at dealing with this. It's people are disconnected from the realities of it.
Mm-hmm.
Members of Congress aren't worried about losing their jobs in the next few weeks if they don't, you know, get to work because they have a guaranteed job.
Right. I mean, this affects everything. I mean, of course, it affects the children that are no longer at school being educated, and there are so many issues with that. I mean, we see the fact that the majority of our students rely on, say, like school lunches. Okay, so these kids are no longer getting school lunches. But if you take away that veil of that issue, it really comes down to the issue that they don't have food unless there is school. So, you know, I think this whole coronavirus issue is just exposing so many weaknesses in our society, whether that's the fact that, you know, on the chopping block right now is you know, our food stamps, health care, and these are all things that we really, really need. And I think the lack of responsiveness by our administration, put us in a position that's, you know, we may look back on and regret. So, certainly people in Congress might say, hey, it's not a big deal, we have jobs, but that's not so true for, you know, for the people with small businesses. That's not so true for the people that are worried about their kids getting fed. That's, you know, not true for so many people. And I think this is going to have a huge hit, you know, long lasting on our economy, not just in the short term. 2 weeks is just what we're hoping, but this could be for, you know, unforeseeable, you know, future, depending on how we address it right now. So I think this really showed, this really put us in a position to show us all the holes that are, you know, within our system. And I think responding quickly is the best that we can do. And then, of course, taking everything that's happening as a lesson for the future.
Yeah. And if people are listening, you may hear my six-year-old in the background because he can't get out of the house. And he's going to go, you know, out of his mind with the limits that we've put on him. But we're taking it seriously. I'm sure that, you know, I was looking at your profile, of course, before we had this issue. And as a mother and a school teacher, you know how kids are going to be affected by this. And, you know, it puts a big concern on me because, you know, we're trying to present some normalcy for our kids.
Right.
And I don't think it's going to be too easy, especially for people other than my family, because my wife and I both will be working from home and we can arrange things. But I'm sure you've seen that it's really exposed the challenges that families have, especially people who have it far worse than I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You know, again, the food issue. And then at least in Pennsylvania, we have not required, you know, say, restaurants or bars or things like that to shut down. And my headquarters is actually right on the main strip down in Erie downtown. And I was still so surprised to see how many people were still going out and, you know, exposing themselves and possibly transmitting this. And then that also puts the people that, you know, relied on, say, schools and daycares in a tough situation as well. We had lots of people that didn't know what to do with their children when they were still, they don't have the option of working from home. So it's really kind of put an upheaval in so many people's lives and put us in a predicament of really, really looking at how we're going to solve this issue and, you know, be more prepared for something like this in the future.
You know, by the time we put this, I upload this podcast, that may have changed, first of all, because the other states have closed down restaurants and bars, at least temporarily. It has really disconcerting to me how many people I've seen are out at restaurants. And one thing I was talking with someone else earlier today about that really worries me is that there seems to be a large partisan divide about this disease where a majority of Democrats are very concerned and a minority of Republicans think it's a big deal. A lot of them are saying, you know, it's overblown. My neighbor says it's overblown, which worries me because he's older than me. I don't know his health issues, but he's probably in worse health than I am. You know, do you see this culturally in that part of Pennsylvania where you're concerned about maybe people getting their information from the wrong places and not taking facts seriously?
Right. I think that happens, you know, with so many things. And then again, you know, the worry with that is I would much prefer that we overreact than underreact and regret it later, because this is something that affects people's lives. And, you know, we don't want to look back at this and say we could have prevented hundreds or thousands of deaths if we would have taken this a little bit more seriously. And my concern is young people specifically look at this as, well, I'm not going to die from this. So if I get sick, who cares? Well, it's not the concern that these younger, you know, people are going to die, but it's the concern they're going to transmit it to somebody that could. And I think they don't, you know, look at it that way. And you know, they're either not looking at the news or the news that, like you said, they're getting it from is biased. And in the end, that just hurts us. So there's concern. You talked about your neighbor, you know, feeling one way. And I have people messaging me all the time saying, well, let's go here and let's go here. And I'm like, I'm not putting myself in that position because I don't want to be the reason that, say, my staff gets sick or that my children get sick. And I don't, you know, vice versa. I would hope for the same respect. I think it's just really respecting others. And I think there's a lack of that. And that with misinformation is quite a problem. And so that's why it's important for our state officials and our federal officials to take this seriously, because sometimes without their guidance, you know, if we're let to our own device, we do, you know, people are going to do what they want, which puts other people in danger. So I think it's really smart that Ohio is taking that, you know, that stand and saying, okay, you know, starting at 9 o'clock tonight, it's delivery and pickup only, you know, and it does hurt businesses. And, you know, hopefully we can address that down the line, but it's hopefully going to save lives. And I'm hoping that if Pennsylvania's cases increase, which I think they will, that we take the same precautions and the same serious steps.
So obviously there's the real life challenges of this disease, but the podcast is about running for office. You have challenges and potentially opportunities with running. You've never run for Congress before.
Sure.
Were you prepared for the challenges, or are there challenges that came up or have come up so far that you were surprised by and had to think of ways to, you know, make sure you can run an efficient campaign?
Sure. So I think that me not being perhaps a typical candidate is in my benefit. You know, the last time that a Democrat held this seat, she was similar to me. She was Kathy Dahlkamper. She was a first-time female candidate. And, you know, I think that me being a lot more like this district and the constituents of this district, there's a relatability there. And there's a trust there because, you know, I say this line all the time. When I'm fighting for PA 16, I'm fighting for my family. The same things that the majority of people here in Western PA want are the same things that I want for myself and my kids. And I think the biggest challenge really is the fact that I'm a teacher. And so my campaigning has to happen after school hours and on the weekends. And I don't have the ability to, you know, say, leave school and take a lunch meeting or whatnot. And I have to continue to be a teacher. You know, one, I do love it. It's my career, but also because I can't afford not being able to have the benefits that so many people need. And I'm lucky enough that as a teacher, I do have decent benefits. And, you know, so the challenge is that the challenge for me, regardless of whether I've been a candidate, you know, or not before, is really just the time and just trying to navigate that while also raising my family. And they certainly don't make it easy for regular people to run for Congress or really anything. And so if not more so, that's why it's important that I do this so that I can, you know, stick up for the majority of PA 16 and show them that, you know, a real person like themselves and like me can do this. And I have their best interests in heart, and their interests are so much like my interests.
So you have gone out, you've done some campaigning already. And what have been some things as a candidate in what could be considered a challenging district? Have there been things so far that have been very encouraging for you? I think, you know, we want to encourage more people to run for office. Have there been moments or people or things so far that have really made you feel glad that you're taking this on beyond just the issues?
Sure, absolutely. I'd say, first and foremost, the dedication of my family to me has been amazing. My mother, at first, of course, like many people that run for office, family sometimes is more apprehensive of, you know, you running than the candidate themselves. And after my mom finally really got on board, I was amazed at how supportive she was. And then also, it really is worth it to me because of my children. And because even though sometimes I think I embarrass them a little bit, I think that this is going to be an opportunity that someday we'll be able to look back on and they're going to say, wow, that was amazing. My mom was an amazing role model, and I think they're going to be really proud of me. And so my family for sure. And then meeting people out there that are just so gracious, and happy that there's somebody that's, you know, standing up and being a voice for them. I think that's really what's gotten me through this, and it's just made it so much worth it. You know, even when I'm tired after teaching all day and campaigning till 10, 11 at night, when I get the thank yous and I, you know, and I see that my kids are starting to appreciate everything that I'm doing, it makes it so much, you know, so much worth the fight that sometimes being a candidate, you know, is in campaigning.
Which I think is a reminder to all of us who want more people to run it's good to donate to candidates or to volunteer for them. But for all of us, if we're able to show our appreciation to people, even just a simple thank you note or a text or tweet can make a difference, I'm sure, in people who are, you know, going through an exhaustive process of running for office.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's being thanked, and even, you know, say if I'm doing call time, if I have a really nice person on the other, you know, other line, and they're just saying, thank you so much for just running. Like, thank you. Like, that's, it means so much, and I don't know if people know how much a thank you can mean, because this really is a selfless job. You know, there's not a lot of me time. You know, everything I do now is either for my career, my family, and campaign. I don't have the extras to do just a lot of just me things. And so when someone thanks you, it just means so much more. So absolutely.
So I was going to ask something else. As a parent myself, and I feel it's not really fair that when people think parenting, it becomes the mother. They're always talking about moms and how do you make time for this. They don't say that to dads enough. But no, I feel like it's a responsibility, like you said, to your kids. These are crazy times, even before this disease made such an impact. And I feel like I have to be able to tell my kids 10, 20 years from now, when they look back, that I did something. And I'm sure people encourage you. You would regret if you told your kids, yeah, we could have done something and I didn't.
Right. Absolutely. And I think it's exactly that. And I think, you know, just going back to the very first thing that you said, is it's certainly something I hear a little bit more. And you asked me earlier if that, you know, what has been surprising. I probably should have mentioned that. Even though I was expecting it, I certainly get asked different questions than perhaps my male counterparts get asked. And more so like, what are you going to do with your children? And I was like, well, I'm going to continue to raise them and be a role model for them. And even though it's very difficult and it's time consuming, looking back on this and being able to say, you know, I put myself out there and worked really hard so that I could represent represent what my kids' future, our future here in Western PA, making sure that this area is a place that we're proud of and thriving. And I think it's all going to be worth it. And you know, looking back on this, it's going to be something I know that no matter what, I'm never going to regret doing.
Great. So we want to encourage other people to run for office. What words of encouragement would you give to people if they're considering running? What do you think people need to know before they start, especially someone yourself who is a first-time candidate for 2020?
Absolutely. I think this was my career as well, you know, as a teacher. I think to be a candidate, to be a good candidate, I think you have to do it for selfless reasons. I think that you have to know that when you're going into it, you are doing it for the betterment of the area that you want to represent. And if you can do that, and then also just to remember that you're not alone. I think I was really lucky to be connected with some delegation that, you know, has been there and said, hey, when you're having a hard day or something's not working, please shoot me a text or give me a call, and you can laugh, you can cry, you can whatever it is. And so you're never alone. And you should certainly, if you are even thinking of running for office, I would say you should do it. Because if you're thinking about it, that means that this is something that matters to you. And you're passionate about it. And just to do it selflessly and to know that you're not alone, I would say to anyone that wants to run, please contact me, or I can get you in contact with somebody else that's running or that has ran before, so that you can have some camaraderie, so that you can talk to somebody else that's gone through the same thing. It's worth it. It's hard, but it's so worth it, because there's, I never, you know, in a million years would have thought this is something that I would be doing. And like I said, not for a second will I ever, ever regret it, because I know it's the right thing to do. And I know that I'm not alone. So that's kind of the message I would give to somebody.
Well, and that's how I ended up talking with you, because Eugene De Pasquale is like, you should talk to Christy. She's great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, that's a pretty good person to have recommending you, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. He's fantastic. And, you know, when I first started running, somebody connected him and I, and we got on the phone, and he just, such a wealth of knowledge. It's so nice to talk to people that have gone through this. They can just really, like, you know, quiet some of the fears that you may have, or say, don't worry about this bad day, or don't worry about this mean thing, some et cetera, that, you know. And it's funny too, like John Fetterman and Governor Wolf are always kind of making fun of the tough times that they have, right? Right? They have that mean tweets, you know, little segment they do, and they read people's tweets that are mean, and they laugh about them. So it's nice to see that there's people out there that, you know, you can say, this person said this terrible thing, and they can just say, don't worry, just laugh it off, or just remember it, that's them, not you. And so knowing you're not alone, and that as soon as you do something like this, that you have good people that care about you.
Yeah, I think those lighthearted moments can be helpful. But I think the other thing I'm hearing from listening to you is it's really incumbent on all of us who have run for office or who care to do our best to lift other people up and always be encouraging people to run for another election or to do something else. If you're there's some selfishness in running for office because you have to have some level of ego to think you're good enough to be that in that office. But you need that selflessness of taking the time to encourage and help others and lift people into other offices.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, not for a moment, I don't doubt that I don't have the capacity, or I wouldn't be doing this, like you said. You know, I know that I have what it takes, and I have that fight, and I have that grit, and I have the intelligence to do it, but I'm doing it not just for me, like I said, you know, being able to just say, hey, I'm not going to be able to go to the gym for the next year. That's okay. I can make it up once I win this race, and it's going to be so much more worth it. You know, I joke with myself like that. Like, it's okay, you know. I can be a little selfless in ways that I was not, you know, before. But again, looking back, it's, you know, going to be for the good of everybody.
Well, I'm hoping I can go to the gym sometime this spring, considering everything going on. Before I finish here, if people are interested in following you and learning more about, you know, what you're doing, how can they follow you on social media?
Sure. So I'm on all the social media platforms. On Twitter, it's Christy for Congress, and that's Christy and then the number 4 Congress. And then on Facebook and Instagram, it's spelled out. So it's Christy F-O-R for Congress. So it's Christy for Congress spelled out. So I'm definitely there. And then my website is easy enough too. It's ChristyForCongress.com. So definitely follow along. You'll see that even though I'm working Monday through Friday generally, except for, you know, during this virus outbreak or pandemic, I make my way almost every day. I'm doing something different, and I try to make sure that I'm posting all the different things I'm doing. So I always encourage people to follow me and try to keep up with all the good stuff that I'm doing, and of course reach out. I'm pretty responsive, so.
Well, for anyone listening, we can make it easier for people like Christy to run for office by lifting them up, letting people know, being kind, and being generous in any way you can with your time and volunteering, making sure that they have the resources they need. But if you're listening, hopefully you'll be inspired to run for office too. No matter where it is, no matter what election it is, your voice and your efforts make a difference. Thank you, Christy, so much for taking the time and making the sacrifice to run for office.
Absolutely, and thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
All right, if you're listening, hopefully you'll run for office too and follow along a past podcast. It's going to be a trying time the next few weeks probably, and hopefully we'll have good people that continue to run anywhere in this country.